Millions of songs are written, maybe daily. So some young person is listening to this, and they say, man, I've got a great song. What do they do? Press it into the hands of somebody like you? Or how today does somebody get their song noticed?
Well, you still have to get somebody to listen to it. Somebody that can do something with it. It's easier today because you've got internet and you've got Facebook and you can record in your basement or your garage and get a good recording out of it and put it up on YouTube or put it somewhere where people will listen to it. But if you're a country music songwriter, you still better go to Nashville and make the rounds of all of the record companies and the music publishers. And that stands for pop, too, because pop and country are kind of synonymous anymore.
You made Freddie Fender a star.
Well, Freddie Fender was a star. We just got people to find out about it. Because when he came to my attention was through Jim Fogelsong, the president of Dot Records. He called me and he said, I would like for you to sign this guy. I said, fine, send me some stuff, I'll listen to it. He said, well, we need it right away. He's got a new record out now, and it's going to become number one in about 3-4 weeks. And he said, can you put him on anything? I was producing those shows in Las Vegas for the Howard Hughes Hotels called Country Music USA. Same story as the Oak Ridge Boys. I said, I could put him in to headline it, but nobody knows who he is. He said, he'll be a star before he leaves there in 3 weeks. The record's going to hit. That was Freddie Fender. And I didn't know. I never signed anybody without doing extensive study and interview them and say, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go with your career? It's a two-way street. You just don't slap somebody on the back and say, I'm going to make a star of you. But I took Freddie because of the recommendation of Jim Fogelsong, one of my dear friends and a reputable man for sure. So Freddie came in, and I sent Leo Zabelin to the airport to pick him up. Leo calls me and says, Jim, this guy, I just got him. He has a pair of jeans and a T-shirt, and he's got his guitar in a sack. He said, you're headlining him tonight at the Landmark Hotel? I said, Leo, you better go buy him some clothes. So he did. Leo bought him a suit, and Freddie came down there. I put his name in big lights, too, you know, all around the hotel and on the billboards coming in from the airport to the Las Vegas Strip. So whether people knew him or not, they figured he was a big star or he wouldn't have that kind of billing. He came in there. He knocked those people out. He got on stage that night, and he was a natural. He's a great guitar player and singer, but a great entertainer. He would tell stories, and there were funny stories. He became one of my favorite people. That song, Before the Next Teardrop Falls, which had been released a couple of weeks prior to that, actually did go to number one before he closed there, and he was a big star when he left Las Vegas.
Jim Fogelsong was with Dot Records?
He was president of Dot Records for a long time, and then with MCA when MCA bought Dot.
Did he take on the Oak Ridge Boys immediately? Was that a tough sell?
That was a tough sell, and you talk about rejection. And he loved the Oak Ridge Boys. He said, I just don't know the transition, that changeover that you're talking about. He said, I don't think it would work. I said, those gospel people are so loyal, and I don't think that the pop people will buy a gospel act. And so he was a tough sell. Now, we used to do a thing here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, called the Halsey Ranch Party. It was a once-a-year deal where we would invite the biggest and the most important entertainment buyers in the world that would come in here. All the television people, Johnny Carson's people came in here. Freddie DeCordova, who produced Carson for years, came in every year. Entire state fair committees would come in. We would have 2,500 to 3,000 guests that would come to the ranch party out south of Mounds, Oklahoma, south of Tulsa. We had big steers barbecuing. We'd have art shows. We'd have Indian dancers there. We'd have all our performers performing in this natural amphitheater. Tammy Wynette, Freddie Fender, Jimmy Dean, Hank Thompson, Roy Clark, Mel Tillis, on, and the Oak Ridge Boys. At that party, one year, this is probably 75, 76, and I hadn't been able to convince Jim Fogelsong, but when Jim saw the Oak Ridge Boys entertain that audience of pure Oklahomans and everybody else from all around the world there, about 2,500 in our natural amphitheater there, he looked over and he said, I'm convinced, let's make a deal. We went in the ranch house and we made a deal and we started cutting records in a long, important relationship that lasted for years and years.
And the Oaks had, what, 27 number one hits?
27 number one hits, right.
So. Didn't you get your inspiration for the Halsey Ranch Party from what we here in Oklahoma know as the 101 Ranch?
That and the old Phillips Petroleum guys, the brothers up in...
Waite and Wyatt Phillips and Frank Phillips.
And Frank Phillips. They'd have those big parties up there at their ranch and invite all of their Eastern people, their brokers and their dealers and their bankers and everybody. And it was kind of like bring people from New York out to Wild and West Oklahoma, people never see. Well, we did the same thing at the ranch party. We brought all these people from Los Angeles and New York and London that had never been to the West, the real West. And we'd have them riding our horses. We'd have the barbecue. We'd have just really a good time out there.
So it was a good way to sell your acts.
Right.
What you call buyers, people come in. Tell them what a buyer is.
Well, a buyer is the person that buys for the Kansas State Fair or the New Mexico State Fair or the Nebraska State Fair, or the buyer that buys entertainment for all the hotels and casinos in Las Vegas or Reno at that time were the only two places that had gambling. The buyer is the entertainment buyer that purchases what you have to sell. Now, when we invited people there, it wasn't one of those things to where we say, we're going to showcase out here some acts you need to have. There was nothing ever said about selling. Those people would say to us, we had all of our agents on the grounds, they would say to us, wow, you know, I'd love to have Merle Haggard from my fair next year. I'd love to have Mel Tillis headline the casino. So it was very subliminal, but we sold millions upon millions upon millions of dollars worth of entertainment in the two-day time period.
Was it in association with the ranch party that Roy Clark would have his celebrity golf tournament?
We'd do that the same weekend because a lot of the same people would come in. Now, we would never showcase any of the people that were on the celebrity golf tournament show unless they were ours, because we would bring in, you know, from Bob Hope to Woody Herman and people like that that were there. You couldn't showcase at the ranch party unless you were part of the Halsey Company roster.
The celebrity golf tournament in Tulsa became a very big tournament and a big event for the city.
Big event, and we raised a lot of money for the Children's Medical Center.
Yeah. Roy Clark often substituted for Johnny Carson when Johnny
He
was
the
away.
First country act to ever substitute for Johnny Carson. After Roy did it, several did it, but Roy was the very first country music artist to ever substitute for Johnny Carson. Then there would be periods where he'd do it for a week at a time.
Yeah, which was really strong back then. What a rounded personality he was.
Right.
Did you ever get around Johnny Carson?
Well, we were there every time Roy did the show. The Oak Ridge Boys have done the show 27 times. Probably Roy's done it close to 100. He had Freddie Fender. He had Mel Tillis.